Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does. It does settle in your soul.
Every day.
It does settle in your soul.
It's there.
I wonder if it's settled in Mika's soul.
I'm sure it is.
It might have. That would be good if it did.
Yes, sir.
We hope, Mika, that you're listening and it's settled in your soul.
Amen.
Good morning. This is Jefferson State of Mind. My name is Terry Raposo. I'm here with Wynn Carpenter and our fabulous, wonderful producer.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
The Hat Man.
The Hat Man.
The Hat Man. And Hat Man, great shirt.
Thank you. It is Valentine's Day, so I wore my pink shirt today.
Yes. But and this man has like 150 children, so we're not worried about him.
Yeah. Shh, don't tell everybody.
We're broadcasting live from KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better. If you have a question or a comment, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-4567. Oh, no, 605-4567.
605.
Happy Valentine's Day.
605-4567.
605-4567?
It's right there on
the
wall.
It is. It's 605-4567. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, sweetie.
Sweetie. Darling.
Yes, you're out there, honey.
Yep, babe.
Rally Sally making that music. Making that music. She was so sweet. She gave me some candy today.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
What does she want to buy now?
Well, you're really a buzzkill.
Well, you always say that. I'm just kind of going along with what your program is.
Anyway, we had an interesting week last week, and we'll talk a little bit about that as the program goes on. But I do want to bring up a few things right away. We should be getting a phone call here soon from either Richard Gallardo or Lori Bridgeford, and they'll be calling in about an incident that happened yesterday. And I want to talk about a little bit about law enforcement. I want to talk about our local law enforcement, and if you have been able to read any of the articles in the Washington Examiner by
Mika Sulmer.
If you
and an article just came out 43 minutes ago.
Oh, it did.
Yes, it did. It says rural Californians are fighting to reclaim their state, even if that means starting their own.
Okay, is it nice when it's?
I'm just in the beginnings of reading it.
Okay. Okay, so he's we'll going to read that.
But it's on the Washington Examiner.
Yeah, Washington Examiner. And we'll get that out. Sally will get that out on her Facebook pages. We'll get it out all over the place. But here's the deal. The deal is that yesterday we had an incident in Anderson. And I think they might be calling right now. I'm going to let them explain it. And the in one of these articles with the Washington Examiner, Mika does talk about the police chief of Redding, who, to his credit, is saying, you know, we've got other things to do than try and enforce these ridiculous mask laws and really, you know, getting in there and trying to disrupt the constitutional rights of the people of our community. We have real criminals to go after. That was number one. They also interviewed Sheriff LaRue in Siskiyou County, who said the same thing. You know, all this craziness that's going on with all these closures and everything else, what really is an essential business? I mean, what really is? You know, if you have a business, your business is essential. And also we have, we got the phone lines ringing already, my friend.
We do.
You know, and we want to talk about enforcement of that. Who does enforce that and who doesn't enforce it? Who should enforce it? Well, no one should enforce those illegal actions by the governor. Even the court says that he's overstepping his bounds with separations of power. He's the executive branch, not the judicial branch, legislative branch. But he seems to think he can do anything he wants as the dictator of California.
Isn't that what you do when you're king? It's always
that
good to be king.
That is what you do when you're king.
It's good to be king.
Well, we're going to go right to the phone. Jimmy, what say you, my good friend?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Long time no talk.
Yep.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, you guys are huge proponents of taking things and sorting them out at a local level politically, right?
Yes, sir.
We attempt
to. Have you guys heard of Dan Schultz?
Enlighten us.
Okay. Dan Schultz is a guy, and he is a huge proponent of doing the same thing, starting at the local level and getting things sorted out in your area, just like you guys are. And there's a project called the precinctproject.wordpress.com. And he is a big proponent of people, of Republicans, getting in on the Republican committees in their area. Because what he was saying is the, basically, and this might be, you know, not verbatim, but he's talking about the Republican Party doesn't really talk about how to get on these committees because they're, you know, they're established and they don't want newcomers in there pretty much. But at some point, you guys might want to check it out. It's called the precinctproject.wordpress.com.
It sounds good. I know that my partner right next to me here is on the Republican Central Committee. Did you know that Wynn was on it?
I did not.
Yeah, we have Bob Holsinger, I believe, is on it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he?
Yep.
Brenda Haynes is on it.
Yep.
Yeah, this is something, and that's good. I mean, that's great, but this is something we've been a proponent of for probably 7 or 8 years. To give you an idea, Shasta County, just so you're aware of that, I would say there's probably, like-minded people, what, 6 or 8 of them, do you think?
Yeah.
Easily, huh?
Yeah.
And so those people are there. So we have a situation where that's happening, and you're right. But, you know, Jimmy, I do want to talk to you down the road here about something else we found out about counties, and I want to talk to you. So maybe we can kind of talk off air, and I really appreciate you calling in, brother, because you always got really good stuff.
But check it out, the precinctproject.wordpress.com.
Yes, sir. Right. Absolutely. Yes.
Bye-bye.
We'll do
all right, brother.
Thank you.
Richard, you're there, buddy. What say you?
Good morning. It's me.
Good morning. We know.
What's
all
up?
All right. I put the shoe phone away. I'm now talking on my belt buckle phone. How am I doing?
Oh, much better.
Much better. It sounds like Richard. Hey, Richard. How you doing, buddy?
Hey. So, Shasta County Citizen Journalist, we have attended 3 vaccination clinics, one at the college, one in Shasta Lake City, and now yesterday at the fairgrounds. Wow, the law enforcement pushback, the Health and Human Services pushback, it got worse yesterday. So everybody knows what we're trying to do. We're trying to educate the people getting the vaccination. We're actually trying to educate them based on the fact sheets of the vaccine manufacturers. So we're not even there giving them opinion. We're there giving them facts that, guess what, Health and Human Services, nobody is giving these people the entire facts that are out there for a fully informed consent prior to the vaccine. That is our intent as citizen journalists. Oh, and by the way, we're also fighting for freedom of the press in Shasta County, and we're not going to stop till we get it. Anyways, we have some extreme pushback, so we get there as usual. We get confronted very quickly by Carrie, HHS employee. She's a very nice lady. She gives us a lot of time.
Richard, Richard, yeah. Can you slow down just a little bit? Go ahead and slow down. We're not going to take away time from you. You have about 2 minutes till the break, and we'll hold you over. But I want you to repeat the lady's name you said you were talking to, and you know you can relax. This is our show here. We let you call in. If you get my meaning. Go ahead, brother.
All right. I'll slow down.
Sure. The lady you were talking about.
Carrie? Yeah, Carrie Shooty. Carrie Shooty.
Okay.
HHS employee, very nice lady, has given us interviews in the past. So she, and that's her job as the PIO. She does very well. Although yesterday she gave us some new information. She says, well, we have now been instructed by the county attorney's office, county council's office, that even though we're on fairgrounds property, publicly funded property, you have to go out there to the street outside of the fence line to the public sidewalk. That's where the press area, the designated press area is at. And if anybody knows me, I of course educated her that, no, that is absolutely not allowed. And I had a 2-page handout this time I was forced to research and do a two-page handout on case laws, state case laws, federal case laws, Ninth Circuit, all this stuff regarding independent media's access and rights to freedom of the press, because we are independent media. And I handed that to her. I said, please read this immediately, because this is going to dictate how the rest of this event should go for us, the press. She did not read it, to my knowledge. I never saw her read it, nonetheless. And then I know we're coming up on the break, but, yeah, all this was Facebook Live, as all of our events are, because we have nothing to hide. So it's out there on Facebook, on Hermit Strawman's page,
okay,
for everybody to watch.
Okay, well, we're going to go
up. Coming up on the break.
Yeah, and I want to hold you over, because I've got a couple of questions about what you said, but I found it interesting. I did talk to Lori this morning. That I guess Anderson, the police department, didn't show up, but it was the highway patrol. And we want to talk about, is the highway patrol King Newsom's new army?
Were they on the fairgrounds
property?
They
were on, I saw them there.
On the fairgrounds property. That's a state agency, just so you know.
Yes.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it.
But we still want to talk about it because, you know, the point is what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong.
Right.
Doing your job isn't your constitutional oath. It's not your job to enforce something that's unlawful.
I'm surprised
you didn't go for an 18-242, but we'll talk about that after the break. Well, we're going to hold Richard over. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
CNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by free fire radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding roots, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. This month's review is Kintsugi by Alec and Bradley. Kintsugi is a pleasurable, medium-bodied experience. Notes of cinnamon, earth, and wood are prominent throughout, with very subtle hints of amaretto and almonds. Come down to the shop for your Kintsugi today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, or visit us on Instagram at Tobacco and Brew.
Oh, man. Fleetwood Mac. Way to go, Sally Lou.
I like that song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We, yeah, that was our band when Sally and I met, Fleetwood Mac. Anyway, yes, getting back to you, Richard. So we were talking about some very interesting things there. Now, we know that the Highway Patrol has jurisdiction because that is a state piece of property, but why were they there in force, and do you have anything on that?
Oh yeah, I do.
Okay, we're all ears. Go ahead.
Yeah. So prior to that, though, we had told Carrie, and this is on video, to Carrie, every time we show up to these events, we get so much pushback, and we're delayed, we're obstructed, we're misdirected. I said, that's why we're here an hour or two or more. I said, if we were allowed to do our job, interview some people, collect some information and leave, we'd be here like 20 or 30 minutes and we would be gone. And I told her, I said, so we would ask to return the favor in kind. We're not going to interrupt your operations. Please do not interrupt ours. And yet they still chose to do so. So once we walked away from her, we then went to part two, I think, on Hermit's videos, part two, that's when we walked over to, we'll call it the recovery area, where after people got their shots, they literally drove, yes, right after they get their shots, they are directed to drive onto a public street to the backside of the fairgrounds, and hopefully they don't pass out en route.
Oh, my gosh.
About a quarter mile.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, hopefully they don't pass out on that public street in that quarter mile to the back lot. And I hit a kid on a bicycle or something, right? God forbid. Yeah, yeah, no liability there, correct?
Wow.
And then, so we went to the back lot, and there was a few people there, employees, I would say, all wearing their vests. So we walked. We went straight to a vehicle, and we were starting our interviews. And we happened to be, well, I'm not going to say how we knew. We knew the police were coming, and so, okay. So we just continued. We did our interview. There was people in their cars. I'll let Lori expound on the medical vaccine side of the house. So the law enforcement starts to show up. There were, yes, Anderson police showed up. Two Anderson police showed up and five, yes, five Highway Patrol vehicles. That's a total of seven law enforcement vehicles.
No, they weren't there. Let me get some clarification. Okay, so yes. This was, of course, the vax joint and all that good stuff they're doing there. But point yes. being is that the Highway Patrol didn't show up till after you were there, or was there already a presence, or was there a presence before you got there, and then it became bigger? How did that look?
No, there was no law enforcement when we showed up. We were monitoring the radio frequency, the police frequency.
That's an important point.
We heard over the Anderson police dispatch that somebody called in a verbal, it's called a 415, disturbing the peace. Somebody called in a disturbing the peace verbal at the Anderson District Fairgrounds by four personnel in vests. Yeah, that would have been us. So somebody filed a false police report in order to get the cops to that location. Yes. And when Anderson police said, oh, it's the fairgrounds, this is the Highway Patrol jurisdiction, likely Anderson police called Highway Patrol and said, hey, there's something going on your property. We need you to show up. Well, they all showed up. And seven law enforcement cars. One or two of them were doubled up, so we had eight or nine law enforcement show up there. Oh, my gosh. And here's the funny thing. So when Highway Patrol gets there, this is on the back lot, Highway Patrol officer motioned for us to come over, which we, of course, did. And we stood in a spot. And then our Highway Patrolmen, five or six of them, they walked about 50 feet away from us and had a little powwow. Okay? Well, okay. And like I said on the video, you'll see it. I said, well, they're trying to figure out what to do with us, as before, because they're like, ooh, I don't know if we want to step in it. This is called freedom of the press. I don't know if we want to step in it. Carrie, you'll see it on the video. They literally, after about 6 or 7 minutes of their little powwow, they literally all turned, went back to their vehicles, and walked and drove away without even speaking to us, without even saying, hey, we were called for a disturbance. We see there's no disturbance. We're leaving. They did not even do that. They literally did not talk to us. I mean, it was amazing.
Well, I think maybe part of it could have been, I think the Highway Patrol is fully aware of Title 18 Code Section 242. I'm sure they're fully aware of that. I know that we certainly made them aware of it at the Capitol. And they were made aware of it, a lot of that, when we were down there on May 1st and May 23rd, when the Highway Patrol, saying they were just doing their job, pulled, what, 35 people, 32 people, something like that, and arrested them, including pulling a pastor off the back of a truck. And three young women that, you know, in their just their day dresses with kids, pulled them up the steps, just arresting them. I mean, just insane stuff, to a point to where the sheriff's department in Sacramento wouldn't take them. The sheriff's department, excuse me, in Sacramento County wouldn't take them. And the police chief said in Sacramento, said, holy expletive, you know, we're not touching this one. And then, of course, they had to let these people go 2 hours later. They held them, from what I understand, down in the basement of the Capitol building. It just, I mean, the Highway Patrol, to me, okay, I understand that. And what they did, I think that they left because they figured they didn't want to say anything to you. They were probably smart enough to understand that they would be breaking the law by stopping you from even being there. That's what I think.
Absolutely.
And I think they're getting educated. Right.
That two-page document that I referred to with case laws, et cetera, at the end of that second page, I do cite 18 U.S. Code 242. I also cite 42 U.S. Code 1983.
Where they can get sued civilly,
Yeah, absolutely. However, I don't believe any of the law enforcement got to read that document that day. We never had I had one in my hand when Highway Patrol was with me. You'll see it on the video. I was going to present that document to the sergeant. I never even got to do that. He got on his motorcycle and left. I couldn't even give him the document.
Well, I think what I'm trying to say is I think that because of a lot of things that have happened in the past, a lot of things that have been mentioned, even in the press, a lot of things that have been mentioned on the videos that many, many people have watched, that has been brought up. And I know that when we were there about 3 years ago, that had to be used on the three horsemen there at the Capitol because they were actually trying to restrict people from even being on the grounds, which once they were told that, I mean, that now becomes personal. That now becomes something to where they're directing this at one or two people. So I do think that they're aware of that now.
Well, keep in mind too that they're local, they're local guys, and they're not going to want their names put out there. I mean, they're neighbors, they could be family members. Uh-huh. Who knows? They do not want their names out there, so they're like, oh crap, how do we handle this?
Mm-hmm.
So there's
one last item. Yeah, I have one last item, and then I'll go if you don't have a further question. There's a very large there's a lot of big issues happening here simultaneously. And one of them is, and I have made a decision as of yesterday, county officials are filing false police reports against us at all three locations. They are filing a false report by calling in and lying to the police, saying that there is a disturbance occurring. When our videos are out there, it's very easy for anybody to watch the video and say, there is no disturbance by these press people. The only disturbance is when they're being harassed by the county and law enforcement. So I have decided as of yesterday, I'm going to be pursuing misdemeanor charges against these people, county or otherwise. I don't care who they are, what their name is, and what title they hold. They're committing misdemeanors, filing false police reports, and Richard is coming for you. Any questions of me?
Not yet.
No, but I do want to say that, you know, we should have I'm thinking about having a big picture of an AR-15 saying, making good people helpless won't make bad people harmless. And I think that there's a lot of things that we have to realize. I mean, frankly, you have statistically, you're probably more likely to be killed by Hillary Clinton than an AR-15. You know, just saying. Anyway, all right, my brother. Anyway,
all right, guys.
So have a good one.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Richard.
Bye-bye.
So, you know, I mean, a lot of these things that are going on here and a lot of the things that have happened with Richard and with the infringement, we want to talk a little bit about the supervisors and the discontent of the public here in Shasta County with the supervisors.
Of the public or by the public?
Did I say of the public?
Of the public? I don't know. Go ahead and say it.
I don't know. I'm not grammatically perfect.
I jumped on you.
You know, hey, listen, whenever I feel stupid about something, I got to remember that somebody voted for Elizabeth Warren. Just saying.
Or Joe Biden.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I'm sorry. Grammatically correct me. Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
I was wrong.
I don't know if you're wrong or right.
I'm just having fun. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's Valentine's Day.
Like getting in your head and living in there rent-free.
Sally has, like, this surprise for me at 2 o'clock.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to have a pedicure.
No, no, no. It's probably going to say,
what
here,
are you laughing about?
Check.
Travis is in there dying, laughing. Yeah, I'll have red, white, and blue toenails. What? I know. You don't want that in your Christmas card. I know. We digress. That means we have to go after a break, so time has come.
Terry Twinkle Toes. Yeah.
Okay, that was good.
I'm the center of abuse.
Always.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
This is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE. Or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Heart.
On Valentine's Day.
Good job, honey. Good music. I can see you dancing to that.
I can hear her singing to it. I can hear her singing to it.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry. You can hear her singing to that?
Yeah.
She probably was, huh?
Yeah, she probably was.
You were, weren't you? I know you're smiling right now.
She's a toe tapper.
Yep. So, anyway, very interesting things going on here in Shasta County. You know, we were talking about the Board of Supervisors and how people are not content with the actions they're taking. You know, there's several supervisors that are blatantly usurping their constitutional position, their oath of office. I mean, you know, Joe Comeni seems like a nice guy, but I mean, hey, he has a social contract. Well, how do you don't sign a social contract, Joe. You have an oath of office, and you should have an oath to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California. Now, neither one of these things apparently are being acted upon because of a social contract. What's that? Here's another thing, too. There's a lot of people that are questioning Lesbaugh. I don't know. You know, is Lesbaugh someone who is for the people or not for the people? Maybe we need to look at the record. Since the new term has started for Patrick Jones, the Board of Supervisors has voted to spend something like, I don't know, $12 or $15 million. Somebody will probably correct me, but it's in that neighborhood. And the only one who has voted against spending that money, by the way, just so you know, there's no such thing as government funded. It's all taxpayer money.
Taxpayer funded.
It's your money. Yeah. And there's been 4-1 votes. Not once on these financial matters, not once has Lesbaugh voted in favor with Patrick Jones. And again, when they did go into the Board of Supervisors and open up the chambers, and, you know, Les was there to jump on the coattails, but didn't he have a year before that to get things open? Didn't he have a year to do that?
Pretty much, pretty close to a year.
I would think.
A good 10 months at least.
We have a caller on the line. Lori, how are you? We just talked to your compadre there, Richard, about your incident yesterday in Anderson.
You did. I'm glad he was able to get in and discuss what happened. And if I could maybe kind of follow up with a field report adjunctive regarding two things, the media and medicine.
Okay.
Both of them collapsed yesterday for about the third time. So I think I'll just start with the media first on how, and folks, if you're not interested in what's happening, you have no idea the loss of rights that are happening every day that we go out there and face this abuse, torment, stalking, and all the rest. So, folks, if they can do this and we're the press, even though we're not mainstream, you have got to understand this is a bigger, darker picture, folks. We're just giving you one example of what happened yesterday. So if I may, I'll start with the media first. They are telling us that they've had to make a sudden policy change. And I think it's because our Shasta County Citizens Journalists for the past 2 weeks prior have been told to go off into a corner, go far, far away, don't talk to, quote-unquote, our patients. When people are standing in line under an oak tree, they're not a patient. They are the public. And they are able to have a conversation with people like us who simply want to talk, chat, visit, and all the rest. Whether we're in a vest that says press or not, it's still open field. It's an open public area. The problem is, at the Shasta Lake Community Center, there was the record searchlight. He's called a reporter. I have his business card, Michael Chapman, and his card says USA Today Network. It does not say record searchlight at all. So there you go. He was able to publish a photograph of people waiting in the vaccination area inside a building, got his picture published, but when we went in later that day, we were denied, and all kinds of people flocked upon us and gave us nothing but challenges, confrontations, and we were treated like dirt. So that's the premise on the media thing. So now they want to make a policy change. And they're going to have people go in a special area, and I don't think they understand one bit. So poor signage. They still have that sign that says honk if you feel like you are having a reaction. Richard already clarified these people were driving on public streets, quarter of a mile, to go to some empty lot with one nurse and a couple other people in vests, and all they did was keep their car on, and they're sitting there waiting to get told they can leave. Unfortunately, we have on film people leaving the premises. There was no one at that VIP checkpoint of enter and exit toward the end of the afternoon, around 2 o'clock, 2:30. I'll check my timestamp. I took about 50 photos. Unbelievable, you guys. This, and they're calling this a secure situation, and they're monitoring you after you get the second, which is the most crucial, dangerous dose, Moderna. They weren't even getting the five-page handout, even from the Benton Airport one, because all of us were at Live Oak at an event. I tell you what, we were doing their job yesterday. We were not able to do much of anything else. If there's a break, let me know because I'm about finished.
Well, you can finish up, kiddo.
Okay, so Carrie Shute was the public information officer. Yesterday they had no site manager. Repeat, no site manager. So she was kind of on her own, and I give her credit for trying to, you know, balance quite a few things. I'm sure it's not a fun job whatsoever, but the point is they do not have their act together. And the people that are going to be responsible after all is said and done, and we're done with our work, completely done with our review, legal, ethical, moral, all the rest, this falls on HHS and public health and legal counsel and all the rest. And the Board of Supervisors need to wake up and understand what is happening constantly. And so before I even went to the event yesterday to do our press work, I called both hospitals. I called and got their, you know, somebody answered the phone at the hospital, and I wanted to know if there's been any training called an in-service for medical staff regarding a vaccine reaction. Do they know to ask when someone presents with a heart attack, a stroke, facial paralysis, infection, trouble breathing? Do they know to ask these people, did you just take the coronavirus 19 vax, whether it's Pfizer or Moderna? And those are the two ones we have. Did you take dose two? All I wanted to know was a simple question. Have they been fully trained with an in-service or a continuing education unit? Neither hospital, I'm talking Mercy and Shasta Regional, could answer my question. They redirected me to call back on Monday to talk to admin or training or education department. No one could answer that. And I was, by the way, patched through to the emergency ward both times. And Mercy was especially horrid to me because they're like, why are you calling? I'm like, I didn't ask to go to the emergency room. I was put through to the emergency room because they thought someone could answer the simple question. There you go, people. Your emergency room people cannot answer a simple question to ask if you've had this vaccine and what to look for. By the way, you don't always get anaphylactic shock, which can happen in 15 minutes or 20. Your reactions can happen in a few days or weeks later when your immune system blows up on you.
Wow. You know, Lori, I hope you call into the next program, as does Richard.
I'm not quite done. The more I talk about what's happening,
well, okay, that's good. I mean, it would be great, and I know that I talked to Mark Kent this morning, and he's open to you and Richard giving a call in and chit chat a little bit about this stuff because it's so important. Now, what I want to do, and thank you, Lori, for all that.
You bet, and I'll talk about the ambulance leaving where there was no ambulance left. So in case five people had a sudden reaction, who was supposed to help these people suddenly having five reactions?
Oh,
the one
my
ambulance
gosh.
Had to go to another call.
Wow.
So, Lori, so
do you understand what's happening, folks? Do you understand how sloppy and reckless this is?
Well, I think one of the things, when you had a point you wanted to bring up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Lori, my understanding is from information I'm seeing, it says there were two transports, ambulance transports from the Vax Clinic. Do you know anything about that? That happened, I guess, from a local.
I took pictures. There was a Dignity Health van. When we started walking over to this faraway recovery lot, okay, when we started walking there, we stood in a parking lot to, you know, readjust our cameras and, you know, make our plan for what we're going to do as we are being migrated over. That van left. I totally believe they were all told to not talk to us, not interact, leave us alone perhaps, but they didn't want to have any sound bites. They did not want to have interviews with us, and we were free to talk to these people in their car waiting. And I was stunned how many people, and there was an AMR vehicle, too. I have all these pictures. I was up till 4 in the morning. I'm still bogged down with a lot to do, folks. We're trying to run a whole organization on our own for free, folks. We need support. And support, I mean, just show up with us. Help us.
You know, and I think that's
your mom and grandmom and Uncle Billy, too, who's going to be taking these shots, and they're going to be left on their own.
Yeah.
No follow-up. Care. Awful. Horrid.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Lori, thank you.
You might want to call us lawyers. Just saying. Thanks for taking my call, you guys.
No, please call back.
I will.
That's great. It's great stuff, Lori. And
thank
I don't,
you.
And Lori, as I told Richard, when you call in here, we don't want you to feel rushed.
No.
When you have stuff, you can slow it down whenever you want, because I know what happens a lot of times on a lot. You know, Travis, I don't even think we're going to take another break. I'll tell you why. We can't get stuff out during the week because there's other programs that have other agendas that do stuff. And that's not a slight to them. But you know what? We're trying to get a message out here. And Travis, I love you. Don't get me wrong. I love you. The point is that, you know, we pay for this program. And there's yesterday, in fact, at 8 o'clock on this station, there was nothing but ads. So the people who advertise, and God bless them for advertising here, they keep the doors open. But they certainly had time to talk about their ads. And, you know, we're getting to a point now where, you know, we have these programs on every day, and it's about, I don't know, it's important stuff. There's important stuff that comes out. But how important is your liberty, for heaven's sakes? I do want to bring up something, though, important, a positive. We got an email last night from Kevin Kiley, and as of February the 12th, there are 1.5 million signatures on the recall for Gavin Newsom. That's from Kevin Kiley, 1.5 million. We probably need 1.9 million, just because we know they're going to discount some, because we all know that, if they could, they'd probably make voting illegal. So we have to be looking at what's going on the left. Now, something else I wanted to bring up, and that's State of Jefferson. How important is the State of Jefferson? It's extremely important. The article that was written by Mika Solner, and I'm going to spell her name, it's M-I-C-A-S-O-E-L-L-N-E-R, and that is from the Washington Examiner. I think she did a marvelous job. She wrote four articles. She was very fair.
Yep, very fair.
Extremely fair. And that's all you ever ask for someone.
That's what you want for the media, is to be fair.
Yeah, and she did such a nice job. And there was a lot of things she wrote on. We will get that out to everybody. And I looked at the Facebook page for the Washington Examiner. They've got almost 900,000 people that just follow that page. Mika's an amazing young journalist. Very impressed with the fact that she's so even-keeled at such a tender age.
Very grounded.
Yeah, very grounded.
She's an old soul.
She's an old soul. I mean that as the highest compliment.
Yes, yes.
That she weighs things. And what I found remarkable, just saying, I don't know how this works, but she would write an article, and then that article would be out the next day. Now, here she is coming from Washington, D.C., flying into Redding, California. It had to cost a pretty penny, I would think. Mika doesn't drive. She Ubered everywhere, and so it had to be some sort of expense. But the belief in someone like Mika by the Washington Examiner was quite impressive. In saying that, the idea of someone writing an article, usually they write the article, then the editor goes through it. I mean, we've done, 1,000 interviews when? Mm-hmm. You know, Mark Barry's done 2,000.
Yep.
And each time they've got to go back, well, you know, we've got to go through this with our editor, you know, they cut this out, cut that. Mika would write these articles, and the trust, and I can see why, because of the quality of the work she does. She actually reports. And the quality of her work was really pretty impressive. We'll get this out to everybody on the Facebook pages, and we'll have a video out on it and everything else. But the reason is, all this affects Jefferson. You know, people have said, well, what's the economy going to look like in Jefferson? What's the budget going to look like? Well, I'll tell you one thing.
It'll look better than it is in California.
There is none in California. They're broke. Hey, how about, I got an idea.
It'd be too hard to do that, would it?
No. It wouldn't be too. Here's the other thing, too. How about we have the State of Jefferson being a place where we invite gun manufacturing. Let's invite Remington and Ruger and Browning and Smith and Wesson. Let's invite them here to start their factories here. What do you say?
And the ammo company.
And the ammo companies. All the ammo companies. Mm-hmm. Let's invite them here. You think that would boost the economy? I mean, you know, that and tourism. Yeah. Let's really have tourism here. A Bass Pro Shop. Let's get some good retailers in here. Let's make sure that we have an economy to where we have people that can start a business and not have to fill out every regulation in the book.
And it'd be Second Amendment all the way. You're not going to have
That's
a
right.
permission slip to carry your gun, even if it's a cannon. It doesn't matter. You wouldn't have to have a permission slip from said government. That's not going to happen.
Think about this. Do you ever wonder why there's no Democrats on Mount Rushmore? You know, really and truly, you know, you stop and think about all these different things that are going on. Hey, what else could Jefferson do? Well, the whole tax base would be a whole different thing. We're going to have Janet Chandler on next week. Next week, Janet's going to be here in studio, and we're going to talk about the Jefferson Constitution.
Yep.
We've had some people say, well, you know, you don't bring up Jefferson enough, but your program is about Jefferson. Everything we're talking about is Jefferson. You know, here's the deal. Everybody out there in the counties need to be duplicating what we're doing here. If you have supervisors that are not following the Constitution, and they are breaking the law, And here's the thing that bothers me. They use virtue signaling. I love people who use virtue signaling. I care so much for you that I'm wearing this mask. And, you know, and if you don't care about people's safety, then you're just selfish. Give me a break. I've gone into stores. I've seen students, kids walking around. They've got acne on their face from these stupid masks, breathing in fiber. The masks don't protect you. The masks don't protect you. How dumb are you? Seriously, think about this. You think about you're selfish. Oh, I know, virtue signaling. I'm a great person. Or better yet, how about a mask with a fashion statement? Well, some of the masks are okay, I guess. They kind of improve looks of some people.
Well, you know what's kind of funny is a couple family members just got back from Lake Havasu. And in the city of Lake Havasu, guess what? The businesses there don't let you into their business if you're wearing a mask.
Really?
Yeah, there was one business that the family member was in, and this lady came in, and she was screaming and yelling at the she was talking very aggressively to the owner of the business. She didn't know it was the owner, but she thought he was a staff member, and he was the owner of the business. And he told her to get out. He said, you have to take the mask off. You can't wear that in our business. And she was being challenging to him, and he said, no, you need to get out. And finally he said, get the F-bomb out of my store.
Wow.
And then so they left, and then so he hightailed it out of that store and ran down to the next building, which is the restaurant he owns, and he told his staff there, do not let these people in. So he was willing to take a hit in the store and a hit in the restaurant on principle that he doesn't allow masks in his business. And nor did any of the other businesses along there, because my family members went in and checked them out. And they were just watching and seeing and what was going on. And they said it was totally refreshing to be in that community, breathing fresh air and walking around and smiling and seeing people's happy faces. So the businesses were not allowing people to come in with a mask on. Just food for thought.
That's great stuff, buddy. You know, and, you know, it's sort of like there's a young woman named Amanda Stahl in Placer County, a great young gal, and her husband and her own a business, and she has a couple kids, and I believe she homeschools them now. Anyway, just an amazing, amazing, you know, and she said, you know, I found my tribe. I found my tribe with the Jefferson movement. I found my tribe with understanding that there's going to be a state that has a constitution that follows the Constitution of the United States and follows the Constitution of the state of California. And a Constitution that specifically has in it that the people who we elect have to toe the line, and they have to know the Constitution. Unlike our Board of Supervisors, none of them have ever read the California Constitution.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, and the deal is that you have these people that are on this particular board that are breaking the law every day. They've broken the Brown Act. There's a million things going on. There's a lot of people looking into this. There are going to be a lot of different things happening over the next few weeks. How does that tie into Jefferson? It ties into Jefferson because if you're in Mariposa, if you're in Stanislaus, if you're in Placer, if you're in Modoc, if you're in Sierra, no matter where you are in what county, everything that's happening here is something that's happening in your county too. The virtual signaling of all those, I got to be really careful on my language, of people trying to show that they're not selfish, but you are, mm-hmm. because you don't wear a mask. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I think that what happens is sometimes you find your tribe. You find the place you need to be. You find the place where your heart is. And you find a group of people and the people that you know you need to be around, you know you need to be with.
And you want to support.
And you want to support.
And you want support from them.
And that's what you have with the state of Jefferson. And with the state of Jefferson, you bet, we understand you have to have something called committees of separation once we do separate in California.
Yep.
There's also the other thing that's happening is that if Trump would have won, or if something happens with Biden, if something happens there and come to find out this really was, which it was really stolen from Donald Trump. It was really stolen. Yes, that's a fact. It was stolen. Come on. It was stolen. Stolen from Trump. If he does manage to get back in office, there's rumors that California and Oregon and Washington would leave the United States. Well,
it was stolen from us.
It was stolen from us.
Yep, it was stolen from us. And the appointment of the man that we elected didn't get in because it was stolen from us,
yes,
we
sir.
The people.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Hey, and Wynn, let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if California leaves the United States? What happens
with Jefferson? Before Section 3 state split.
Kind of like West Virginia, right?
Absolutely. Exactly like Virginia.
Yeah,
West
because,
Virginia split, yes.
Yeah, because, you know, when you look at West Virginia, people say, well, you know, well, they didn't have to really go to the state. Why not? Because the state of Virginia has seceded from the United States. And, oh, by the way, people have said, well, the state of Jefferson, you guys, are you seceding? No. But California would be.
California would. And we're just waiting for that moment.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, when California does that, how many other states are going to come out of that?
Yeah.
Because the other counties are going to do the same, if not similar thing, when they get wind of what we're doing. They're going to create their own natural borders. And guess what? California will cease to exist as we know it today. And it will be broken up into multiple other states, given wherever the county board or the state borders would be, given the said counties that are currently in the state. So it would be interesting to see how that all plays out. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I would love to see it. Be a fly on the wall watching that happen.
You bet. You know, and the thing is, we have to understand the historical and the beauty of Northern California, the beauty of it, the beauty of the state of Jefferson, what that would bring. But the simple idea of opening up free enterprise with very few regulations, very few, and those would make sense. Those would make sense. In a way that it isn't restricting business, it's enhancing business, but
right.
To make sure that there is safety things and precaution, because you always have people that don't want to always do the right thing, but on a very limited basis. And also, when we elect those people and put those people in office in our part-time legislature.
Part-time.
Mm-hmm.
Not every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And not 100,000 years. We would have a situation where you are in and you're elected. You get one law. Make it a good one, man. Make it a good one. You don't get to pass 1,000 laws a year.
That's right.
I mean, people break the law every day. People probably commit felonies every day. We didn't even know what they are.
That makes them criminals, right?
It makes them criminals. And, you know, I have to give credit to the police chief in Redding and the sheriff in Siskiyou County, the new sheriff there. They're not going after the businesses that are giving... giving a sign to the governor that they don't really, they're not going to follow what he's doing. I mean by that sign, a hand gesture. And, you know, law enforcement is supposed to stand between tyranny and the people. And we'll talk about the sheriffs. I mean, we've had a lot of talk about, well, the constitutional sheriff this, constitutional sheriff that. Well, we're going to get into that probably a little bit next week, too, when Janet is here. Because I want everybody to look up in the Constitution of California, I want you to look up Article 5, Section 13. Article 5, Section 13. It was added in 1974. I want you to look that up. It's easy to look at. It'll take you 2 minutes to read it, and then we should really have that conversation on a constitutional sheriff and how that would work in California because of Article 5, Section 13. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's easy to look up. If you have a California Constitution, it's on page 198. Okay? 198. But we have to start doing our own research. I was reading that a person who I have some respect for has just put on her website that you can go and you can go to her website and for a donation of $20 or whatever, she'll send you all the laws and all that stuff. Shouldn't we be doing that homework ourselves? I mean, shouldn't we be looking up these things ourselves? Shouldn't we be going and learning about the law ourselves? Shouldn't we be reading the Constitution ourselves? Where does personal responsibility come in? In the state of Jefferson, it will.
Amen.
So with that, my good friend, we got about 50 seconds left. And any parting thoughts?
I just want to remind everybody to go to the Washington Examiner and look up Mika, M-I-C-A, Solner, S-O-E-L-L-N-E-R. She's the writer for the Examiner that wrote the articles for us. And today's article came out at 11:20 a.m. And the title is Rural Californians Are Fighting to Reclaim Their State, Even If That Means Starting Their Own.
11:20 a.m. Eastern Time.
Yes, sir.
Time has come, my good friend.
4:51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.